Pepperoni, Grandpa. Pepperoni.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Boomer and the Vape Show, giving voice to 78 million boomers from coast to coast and border to border. Each day we have a different guest and a different topic. Our guests always have a nugget or two for anyone, regardless of where you are. We hope you enjoy the relaxed conversational style of the show. Nothing fancy, just boomers sitting around the table talking about stuff. Now, here are the Boomer and the Vape, Pete Peters and Deborah Brown.
Yes, indeed. Welcome to the Boomer the Babe Show, another edition. It is Monday, May 9th, 2011, and we're broadcasting from the studio in the Feeding, Arizona complex in Youngstown, Arizona. We'll be getting to our guests in just a minute, but before I do, I want to invite everybody and all our listeners to take a look at our website, which is boomerandthebabe.com. Take a little tour around and see some of the exciting things that the Boomer and the Babe Incorporated is involved in. We have authors on our shows on the Boomer and the Babe Network and here on Blog Talk, and we invite you to listen to those as well. We produce videos, promotional products, consult for small businesses, and we're truly a multifaceted, multimedia marketing company. And one of the things we do is we publish the mini books and the e-books. And with me today, I have two gentlemen that are involved with an e-book that is soon to be up on our Boomer Series books. It's called Success or Failure, The Choice is Yours. And the author of that book is Mr. Tom Legering and his son TJ. And they're going to be we're going to be visiting with him. And also we have Dr. Terry Munther, and he, in conjunction with Tom, do various types of seminars and workshops for people and helping them find their road to success and avoid the failure. And we want to make sure that we have a lot of conversation with them today because we're going to be entering the world of boomerdom. Boomerdom is something that, and Deborah won't be here, by the way, today. She's getting ready to take a trip. So, but at any rate, we're going to be entering the world of boomerdom. And as Deborah and I say, boomerdom is a state of mind. It is not a location. So there's a lot of things that baby boomers are involved in, interested in, and are concerned and worried about. And that all comes to the fore in boomerdom. So you have your choices, success or failure. You can be as fun-loving as you want, and so on and so forth. But it's all a part of being a baby boomer these days. So why don't we start with Tom. Tom, tell us briefly who you are. I know you're a serial entrepreneur and a serial unretiring person. Why don't you tell us, give us about 60 seconds about who you are, what you do, and some of the interesting things that you've had happen in your days.
Well, I'm 50 years of real estate experience. As a general contractor in California, I'm a certified property manager. I'm basically retired for the seventh time in my life. So now I just work 70 hours a week. 40 of it is with volunteer work. I'm on board of directors for Rec Centers of Sun City, Visitor Center of Sun City. I've just been asked to be on two more boards, and I'm not sure if there's enough hours in the day for that, but I think there is. And the main thing is enjoying my time and trying to leave some kind of a mark for the people that come after me.
Very good. Dr. Terry Munther, tell us a little bit about, would you enter and sign in, please?
I'm entered and will sign in. Thank you, Pete. Thanks for having us this morning. I'm Terry Munther. I was a 30-year educator, teacher, principal, superintendent, coach, and retired out of Washington State after 30 years in the public education field and also teaching at the university level and doing public speaking. So after retirement, actually prior to retirement, we purchased a second home in Sun City, Arizona, and spend quite a bit of time down here. And in coming down here and meeting Tom, we got involved in working with his book and doing workshops for various groups, which we can talk more about. Also, I'm involved in the real estate business here in the Arizona area, as well as serving on various education committees and other community committees. So keeping busy in my boomerdom, Pete.
There you go. Let's start with some of the work that you do. It's been Deborah's and my contention, and we have discovered in some of the things in research, for lack of a better word, that we do, that there's many things that involve the baby boomer. And the baby boomers are involved in many things, and they have varied interests. But one of the things that the baby boomers seem to be involved in at some level is giving back. Whether they're as a retired boomer or a soon-to-be retired boomer or whatever, there seems to be a certain element of boomers giving back in whatever their area of interest is, being it a nonprofit, being teaching, being whatever, maybe not for money, but still staying active and looking forward to staying active into their formal retirement years. What are you finding in your studies and things that are happening?
Well, I'll speak to that first. I think you're right on, Pete. I mean, one of the reasons for that, which is really pretty simple, is for the first time in our lives, if we've retired from our 30-year career as I did, for the first time in my life, I had time to actually think about giving back. Because up until that time, you're so focused in working your 90-hour weeks or whatever it is to get that job done and meet all of the responsibilities, that even though you may want to give back more, and that's typically part of your job, once you retire or you hit boomerdom, and you actually have some time to say, I could do some of those things that I wanted to do and just never had the time to, whether it be serve on committees and non-paying committees, or whether it be working as Tom and I have done with homeless veterans or victims of domestic abuse or senior citizens. That's rewarding, and it's simply that we never had the time to do it. So I do think you're right on. It is something that I don't know if I was looking for it as much as I felt a relief that I could do it finally. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. There's the title of one of my forthcoming books that I'm starting to put some notes together right now is By Choice or By Chance. And sometimes we choose to do certain things, and some things happen and come to us by chance. So, Tom, in your long career, and not only a successful career, but also in everything that you've done in your give-back portions of your life, how much of it has been by choice and how much by chance?
Actually, the choice or chance came after my seventh retirement, where I saw a market and there was places to make money, and then I decided, well, I don't want to make more money as such. What I want to do is find ways to get people out of an entitlement mentality, such as the book Atlas Shrugged talks about a lot of that type of things, where people actually, when they want to give back, it's how do you do it? And I think most baby boomers, I'm not a baby boomer, I'm in front of that generation, and I look back and see how the majority of those people worked very hard. They went through college. Now, that didn't mean they didn't have a lot of fun along the way.
Oh, yes, we did.
Yes, we did.
They had fun along the way, but they were also very lockstep in getting to their careers and doing the things. And I think part of it was stress that brings them to this place. When they finally retire, it's like they're decompressing. And, I don't have to do that. But now they look around and they say, my God, I've got all this experience and this ability, and I want to pass that on to somebody else. But the problem is finding the people that are going to really be able to benefit from what you have to say.
Well, I think because many of our generation were so set and goal-oriented and task-oriented, that when it comes to retirement or semi-retirement, whatever it may be, and maybe that's why some of us aren't retiring, because many of us aren't retiring because we still need the financial aspect of not being retired. I mean, that's just the way it is in the economy and the world today, I believe. But many of us, if we have the benefit of being semi-retired or completely retired, if we choose to do that, and that is a choice, we still have pent-up energies. I mean, we've been going and going and going and going and going, and when do we stop? I mean, it's nice to be able to say, okay, I'm going to smell the roses now. I can remember when my dad, who is passed, but I remember he retired at age 55 from a pretty stressful job at Ford Motor Company. He was a charger back in Michigan. He was a real charger. And he called and said, he and mother said that they were going to retire. And I went, that man is going to live about four more years and he's going to die. Well, he didn't, because he had the capacity to compartmentalize it, de-stress, and he played golf four times a week, and they traveled and whatever. So that's what they did for their retirement, and he could compartmentalize it. But so many boomers don't have that capability, and maybe one of you would like to kind of address that if you seem to think that's the case.
Well, yeah, I think I'll be addressing it, but I, also to react to what Tom said, I mean, he just wrote the story of my retirement. You know, went to college for 4 years, then five, eventually eight, but went to college, got the job, worked 30 years, raised the family, lockstep, if you will, even within the career, teacher, assistant principal, principal, assistant superintendent. I mean, everything was lockstep to retirement. And I remember the reason that we came here to spend retirement time was exactly what Tom said, to take that deep breath, decompress, and that's exactly what it felt like. It had been 30 years and very stressful, sure. High responsibility, and then whoosh. And I golfed almost every day for a very long time, which is how I met Tom at his golf course. But eventually, I don't know if it's the batteries recharged or the brain starts churning again. Part of it is, boy, I've got some time. I could do some things I haven't ever been able to do. I can explore some new options. Those sorts of things begin to start churning, and that's where, you know, Tom and I came together on our projects. But for me, here was the learning, Pete. as much as I didn't want to admit it, I just thought, I'm retired, I'm going to golf every day, and nothing will change. Well, the world continues to change. The world continues to transition, and like it or not, so do our bodies continue to transition, our minds, et cetera. And so as we talked to groups, the homeless vets, for instance, we said, you're in a period of transition. And, you know, I'd get home from those classes and I'd say, I'm in a period of transition. This is a true transition from 30-year career to a different stage in my life. And really in talking with Tom and many other folks, what I realized was that transition is going to happen. The question is whether we direct the transition or whether we let it happen. I mean, we all hear the phrase that there are those that make it happen or those that let it happen. The transition as a boomer is going to happen.
It's going to go on with or without you.
I think our goal has to be, how do we direct the transition to make us happy? And I think that includes keeping healthy. It includes keeping happy. It includes keeping some goal-oriented. It includes giving back, all of those things. But that's part of directing the transition. I don't even know if I got to your question, but I wanted to also react to some of the things Tom said.
This is really what I'm talking about in the book, is that the boomers are come out as hard chargers and dedicated and head down and move forward. Okay, what's the next goal? Take that hill, then take that next valley and go up the next hill. Move up from being a teacher, first of all, from being a student to being a graduate to being a graduate student to getting that degree to doing this. And everything is just this little short steps in front of us. We just got to charge up the next hill, down the next valley. And we got, all of a sudden, we get to be older, and two things have happened. One, we're not our parents. We're not our parents. Physically and mentally, we're not our parents. What's happened is we're going to live a heck of a lot longer. Insurance companies used to bet that my dad would die 1.9 years after he retired, because they knew they had nothing else in their brain except their job and being a good citizen. That's all they had, their family, their citizenship, and doing a great job. Well, boomers now, when they come out and they actually get this little decompression thing, they're saying, well, what's the next hill? What you know, they're constantly looking around for this next thing to attack. They don't have to. They A lot of them have the economics so they can make decisions instead of decisions made for them. And the fact we're living longer, we have more ability. And quite frankly, with the technology today, boomers have so much more opportunities because they can just go online and find all the data that anything they're interested in is available to them. So that's what part of this give back thing happens is, well, I got mine, I've charged up the hill, but I want to leave a scratch on the ground. I want somebody to know I've been here. And the only way I can do that is help out another person. But I don't want to just write a check for them. I want to give them something that they can write checks to help other people. So it's how do you help the people around you that they have needs, but how do you get them to eliminate those needs so they are able to help another person? How do you, like we're here in the food bank where they're collecting food for people. How do you get people to, okay, I'm down now, but now I want to be up. I want to be the person contributing the food instead of having to get it. I don't want to be in that line anymore. And I think that's what baby boomers are looking for. They have better health. They have better finances than our parents did. And quite frankly, they're better educated, and they have uses of all this technology, but they don't have a direction. Guess what? That's what the book is about. It's about you defining success for you as your life moves forward from right now. So first you got to take care of yourself. Then you can take care of your family. And then you can look to outside into your community.
It's amazing because one of the things that we've discovered and we've talked on and had guests on the radio show about is the fact that boomers are searching. Boomers have always been searching. Boomers were searching for peace during Vietnam. Boomers were searching for the higher the higher awareness, and they searched with the use of drugs and sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and always part of whatever their searching was. And now they've gone through the steps as you've indicated, Terry, and they're come out of the other end, and they're still searching. Some of them are searching to what they can do to give more meaning to their lives. Some of them are searching for what it is that they're going to have to do because they may have had lost their job through a reduction in force or whatever the case might be in the economic conditions. Some of them are searching for I want to be able to take and do all the things for my grandkids that I couldn't do for my own kids. I mean, there are so many aspects to boomerdom and this search. And some of them search via the technology. Others are searching and trying to learn how to use the technology. But there are so many aspects to that. And it's an interesting dilemma. It's an interesting quandary for many boomers as to where do I look for my next high, not a drug high, but my next life's high, and to be healthy and to continue to live and so on and so forth.
Well, one of the things that I've noticed is that it's a thing where for the boomers have boomerang kids. So, yes, they did things financially for their kids. That means shut up, here's some money, get out of here so I can, I'm relieving my stress right now, so here, get the hell out of the house. So now they're looking at it and trying to figure out, well, how do I get my own kid out of my house? Do I have to move? So it's how do I do better than I did? And I think that's a big – so they're looking at parts of their lives they did very well, and parts of their lives they didn't do very well. But that's a whole group. So if you take the whole spectrum of boomerdom, I think boomer smart – I like better than boomer dumb.
Yeah, I was hoping that wasn't a statement about our intelligence.
That's D-O-M, not D-U-M-B.
Anyway, that's what I'm looking at. I think people, the boomers are a very, as a group, and the other side of it is they're a huge group.
78 million.
And that's 10,000 people reaching age 65 every day for the next 14 years. So you are a huge group, but when you look at you all over with your different things and different places and different viewpoints, you are individuals. And I think that's what they're striving for. They want their individuality as well as, and that's what we try to teach them in the book, is first thing is take care of yourself and make you self-sufficient.
Well, we've always wanted to be individuals. We've always prided ourselves on being individuals. There's no doubt about that. That's just the nature of the beast. Now, but one of the interesting things is also there's a lot of baby boomers. They don't call me a baby boomer because they don't want to be identified as part of that
They don't want to be identified part of
that group and thrown into that same huge mass for the simple reason is they all look at themselves as individuals.
That's right.
Well,
they're searching that.
I wouldn't be too worried about that. I think we all are individuals. But I guess I'd like to go back to your comment regarding that we're all searching. I think that's a very true comment. And, you know, I take a little different take on that. You know, Tom's book is called Success or Failure, The Choice is Yours, and which means make some choices, right? Because if you don't make choices, you've made choices. It's just going to happen to you instead of you making it happen. A little bit, if I can tell a quick story how this
Please,
came about.
Ahead.
A few years ago when I was doing public speaking and I was a school superintendent and fairly staid, conservative individual, I was doing public speaking around the country anyway and enjoying it greatly. And one of the things my wife came up with one night, she says, you know, you ought to sing as part of your presentations. And you do a great Elvis impersonation. You ought to go be Elvis.
You didn't bring your guitar today,
you know, though. Well, it's in the car. No. Thank you very much. So she said it would just be fun to open up presentations and keep it light. I said, well, you know, I just could never do that. You know, there's no way I can do that. I'm coming out suit and tie. You know, what would people think? You know, I'd be the laughing stock, et cetera. Probably a day or two later, she said, I want you to see something. And on PBS was Dr. Wayne Dyer. And he had a show that called Don't Die With Your Music In You. And we watched it together. She later bought the show for me. And she said, you really love playing music. You always have. My father was a professional musician, so I grew up in a house of music. But I never wanted to play publicly. And she said, I think you ought to take Wayne Dyer's advice. Don't die with your music in you. Do something with your music.
Got a good wife.
Yeah, and do it publicly. And so, long story short, which is getting long, I did. I opened up one of my presentations, came out in the full Elvis costume, you know, did blue suede shoes and hound dog with reworked lyrics for the occasion, you know, and looked out over the glasses and just saw mouths and jaws drop. But I mean, they were howling and it was so much fun. At first, you know, I felt like that Southwest airline commercial where you just say, want to get away, you know, but it just was a, it was a neat event, and I just carried it on from there. Later, we formed a band of old retired superintendents, which we called ourselves From Soups to Nuts. And we played all over the place and have since had a great time. My point is, I think my wife Pam was right on. Don't die with your music in you. So if you're searching, if you're a boomer, whether you're retired or you're working, I think as we talked about controlling that transition, directing the transition, what Tom calls the choice is yours, I would call don't die with your music in you. What is your music? What is your music?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everybody certainly has some regrets. Let's not talk about it as regrets. Let's talk about it I've always wanted to do that. Maybe you could call it a bucket list. I mean, because that's a commonly used phrase nowadays. But when you stop and you think about what is it that I really would like to do given the opportunity, and now if you have the opportunity, I always wanted to play Pebble Beach. Okay,
yep.
I knew that I would never play Pebble Beach, so I just put it out of my mind and said, I'm not going to pay that much money to go play golf. Well, fortunately, I've got a son-in-law that took us up to play Pebble Beach, and I played Pebble Beach, and I tell you, and I played very poorly. It was before I had my cataract surgery, and I could barely see, but boy, was it fun. But now I don't have to worry about playing Pebble Beach at this point.
That's on my list still.
There's a few other things I want to do. I mean, I would love to go and go see the Masters. I would love to do that. Now, that's something that's there. I don't want to, hopefully I wouldn't die with that music in me. I would like to have accomplished that. And there are a few other things that we won't go into here, but I think that's an example of what you're talking
exactly.
about.
But here's the key point, and actually I have to credit Tom for helping me work through this. Yes, you've got to search. Yes, you don't want to die with your music in you. But when you decide what the music in is, then you got to have a plan to get it accomplished.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
You can't just say, I'd always love to play guitar. You know, we do presentations for senior citizens. And a lot of times we say, so what is it that you want to do? Like, oh, you know, I'm too old. My life is fine. I've got grandkids. I've got enough money. I'm fine. But what would you really like to do? And when they come up with it, maybe I'd like to learn to play piano. A worthy goal. Okay. Well, then let's start planning. What are you going to do today to start planning to learn to play the piano? Because if you don't do that, if you don't take charge of that transition from not being able to play piano to playing piano, it's not going to happen, right? And so really that's what Tom's book's about. That's what our presentations are about. But how do you develop the plan then, whether it be your next career or your musical instrument or getting to Pebble Beach? Because you could have done that on your own had you developed a plan on how to do it, right?
Yes, yes.
And really, that's really our message is we make presentations to anyone. It's not going to happen without a plan. First, you got to dream it, right? And you've got to know what your music is. Right. But once you know what success would be to you, then it's the development of the plan.
That's the point, defining what success. And a lot of times what you mentioned before, people's failures, it's not the fact that they failed at something. It's they failed to learn from things that didn't go right in their lives. So they didn't accomplish something that, oh, gee, I would like to write a book. Oh, because I didn't start out thinking I want to write a book and this is the purpose of why I want to write it. I just wanted to write something about that would help my kids. So they would look, because my three kids or my four kids are very different from me. Their goals and objectives are different. And so I didn't want them to feel like they have to compete with what I accomplished, because that may not be what they want to accomplish. And that's what this whole idea is to figure out what is it that you really want. The first thing is to start, then define what success means to you. And success is just doing what makes you happy. That's how you become successful. My definition of success is doing every day what makes you happy. That it isn't money, it isn't prestige, it is what makes you happy. So you don't have to listen to somebody else's definition of success. It can be that simple. So the success of your life, and then as we get to baby boomers, and I'm ahead of them, so you start looking at a finite time. It's you can make certain deals with your doctor to live a little bit longer, but that's it's going to run out. So now we're not looking at being bulletproof and lasting forever, and all of us are past 30. So guess what? What did we say when we were growing up? There's no life after 30. Well, this is the new 30, 73. So the idea is that we're still healthy and we still have a lot of things that we want to accomplish for ourselves that make us happy. And sometimes that's having a business, starting. I've always wanted to do this business. Well, why don't you? You always want to play pickle, or you want to go to play at or see the Masters. How hard is it? There's a certain way you do it. You sit down, you figure out how much does it cost me to get there, how many days off of my job. Well, can I do my job while I'm there? Well, with today's technology,
I can do this radio show anywhere.
Even
there
for the
go.
Masters.
You can do it at
but,
the Masters.
But I'd have to whisper and do the little golf voice.
Yeah. And the applause in the background.
Yeah, exactly.
But as you do that, as you figure out, okay, I'm not going to lose time. In fact, you could do the radio show there and talk to people in the audience. You can have a whole different idea from there. But so the idea is I got transportation expenses. You got to eat wherever you're at, so you already have taken care of that. Now you got to stay somewhere. So it's where do you want to stay when you go there? You can go and rent somebody's house for a week for $250,000, or you can stay 30 miles away in a motel and drive back and forth.
Or sleep in your car.
Or sleep in your car. Take a van and you know, like you did when you were 30.
Let's
take your sleeper van.
let's talk a little bit more about that transition thing. When I went into business for myself many years ago, and I firmly believe that I'll be in business the rest of my life, because, believe me, nobody will hire me at this juncture. I mean,
you and I are unemployable.
We are unemployable. There's only one person that'll hire you, and that's you. And one person that'll hire me.
First
that
looks back at
us
in the mirror.
That's the one. But I mean, it was my dream. I had this beautiful daughter and this young child, and I was going to build this empire. And at some point, I was going to say, "Here, beautiful daughter, here's an empire for you." And that's what I thought that I was going to do. And the transition had to start, and the transition came to focus when she said, "Daddy," she said, "I don't want to do what you do. You know, I just don't want to do what you do.
Yeah.
Your conversation with regard to your children are different than you. And they're all different. Now, I'm glad she doesn't want to do what I do. I'm glad she's not working with me from the standpoint that what she is doing right now is she's phenomenal at it. Okay, so she would be much better doing what she's doing now than what she would be if she was working with something that I had established for her.
Right.
But that sort of takes care of the transition situation in a different way. It makes you have to transition differently than what you'd anticipate.
More than once.
Right.
See, I would say when I say, you know, don't let the music die
in you.
I think the song changes.
Mm-hmm.
And so while I enjoyed doing that for a while, I think we continually are transitioning to maybe find a different type of music, a different challenge, if you will, maybe doing something totally new we haven't done. And so that's part of this, I think, is great about retirement or semi-retirement. We're not retired, but and boomerdom is maybe we're only going to do things for 1 or 2 or 5 years, and then we can do something else still. I mean, we look and we say, how many jobs are our kids going to have before they die, you know? And it's phenomenal. I've heard 14 to 30, you know?
Well, what's amazing is if I started to put together a resume, it's like a year and a half here, 2 years there, 5 years there. That was a long stint. And then another right. 2 years here and so on yeah. and so forth. And then I take a look at what we're doing as a business. And we're saying we do A, B, C, D, E. I mean, we are transitioning within our business back from one task to another task with regularity. So, I mean, this transition thing for people our age, I think, is just huge.
I think here's a key piece. It's also in Tom's book, Comfort Zone.
That's it.
We, first of all, why don't we do something new, right? Why do we let the music die? It's because we get in a comfort zone. We've always done the same thing. We've worked our 30, you know, whatever. It's comfort zone. So it's breaking out of the comfort zone. And then even if you do that and you do the Elvis stint,
yeah,
right? I mean, which is breaking out of my comfort zone big time, there's always going to be something else that's not going to be real comfortable for me to do, right? To whether it be a new career or whatever. So we've got to break out of our comfort zone. And I think two things have to happen there. And I tell my kids this, or I would tell someone 99 years old this, and that's you can't be afraid to fail.
Right.
Right. Because that's why we don't. Why don't we? Why don't we try something new? Because we think we'll fail. And we're not used to failure. Mm-hmm. Especially as boomers, we're not used to failure. And one of the things that will help you get through that, I use the term, you got to have a reserve parachute. You got to have somebody to support you if you do fail. That will pick you up when you stumble. Or is there ahead of time that says, it's okay if you fail on this one or trying, I'm going to be here. Whether that be a boss that you're working for says, I really want you to try this new technology. If it doesn't work out, I'll be there for you rather than I'm going to fire you, right? You know, that's a really key piece. And I used to skydive is how I came up with that terminology. And people would say, well, weren't you afraid, you know, that you were going to die skydiving? I said, really not. You know, I packed my chute. And if it didn't open, I had a reserve chute that was packed by a professional. And I had to use it 3 times. It always worked. So I still believe in that. But what made it safe and sane for me is I had a reserve chute. You know, my wife, Pam, was my reserve chute, has been for 30 years now. But in the Elvis story, right? She said, look, you go do that. And if it goes poorly, you're not going to see those people again. And you're going to come back. And the kids and I are still going to love you. And so are the dogs. Yeah. And that was that reserve parachute, and always has been, which allowed me to get out of the comfort zone, take a risk, try something new, try some new music, you know, in my life. And, you know, I that's just meant a lot to me. And I think that's got to be part of our plan. And that may be someone else other than your spouse. But I think even in boomerdom, as we take on a new challenge, we have to learn to get out of our comfort zone, take the risk, and be able to, because we know we've got a reserve parachute.
And the other thing about failure, and I'm afraid to fail, is if you're not, if you think about it, you have to look at what's the total bad thing about failure. If you go into a business and you lose the money you put in there, you lost the money, but you're still alive. They don't shoot you. They don't put you in debtor's prison. I mean, oh, what do people think? The point is what do you think? And I think Will Rogers is the one that said it, but you only need two things to be successful in business. And this, I think, is successful in life. It's, first of all, you have to have ignorance. You cannot know how tough it's going to be to go through all the things you're going to go through. You must be ignorant. And you go, you start out with this idea of, I'm going to make all this money, or I'm going to get this job done, I'm going to influence this many people. And you start out with it, and you wonder, oh my gosh, I hit a blank wall. And then you figure out, oh, well, I can go around it, I can go under it, I can climb over it, or I can just stand here and yell till somebody throws me a ladder and I'll climb over it. So the walls eventually disappear and you're going after the next place. And then the other thing that you have to have, so the first thing is ignorance, and the second thing is perseverance. Because when you hit these things called failures, who cares? I mean, read the life of Abraham Lincoln. My God, he didn't do anything right until he was the president, and he turns out to be one of the best presidents we ever had that preserved the Union and the country that's the greatest country on earth. And that was a man that his entire life was failure. He ran for Congress. He failed. He ran for this. He failed. He failed in two businesses. He failed. He failed. He failed. He failed. He was the president of the United States.
Well, I can give you two examples of those two things that you just cited that was my situation. One of the reasons that I wanted to go into business, other than the fact that I was always telling people how to run their business, made a lot of money for other people in spite of themselves, you know, but I figured I can do this just as well myself and make whatever money there is. Even if I make half of the money that I'm making for them, I'm still going to be a happy camper. But nonetheless, I figured I can go into business, and you know what? Because I'm in business, I will have all this time that I can play golf. Well, that was pretty damn ignorant. That was pretty damn ignorant.
Yeah, because you weren't going to get that.
It ain't happening. Yeah. I tell you, I'm a member of your club. Tom, when was the last time you saw me out there? Wednesday morning at a networking club.
Networking for business.
For business. The other thing is you were talking about your other point was stamina or
perseverance.
Yeah. In the nationality that I am, which is Finnish, there is a word that is not directly translatable to English. And the word is sisu, S-I-S-U. And sisu means stem, guts, fortitude, shoulder to the wheel, cuss like a son of a gun, and get that job done and keep hammering and hammering and hammering till you get it done. And that is sisu. So that's one thing that I've always had is sisu. And it was funny because we were at some event somewhere, Deborah and I, and this one of these people was one of these very nice lady, but she's one of these real nary fairy, you know. I say nary fairy. Deborah gets mad at me when I say nary fairy. But nonetheless, she wanted to clean my aura. And the reason she wanted to clean my aura is because she said that myself, when I said to her, she asked me, what do you do? How do you do your business? I said, I'm a grinder. I just never stop. I'm a grinder. That's sisu. She says, well, that's not a very complimentary thought about yourself. And she says, that's bad aura. Let me clean your aura. So she puts her hands around her, and she's cleaning cleaning my aura. I shook my head and I walked out of there.
You're a real boomer.
I'm a real boomer, baby.
You have your aura cleaned.
I had my aura cleaned. Exactly.
I'm not,
right.
I'm not even commenting. Yeah, you know, one of my favorite sayings I have is, it says, you can't leave footprints in the sands of time by sitting on your butt. And who wants to leave butt prints in the sands of time? To your point, you've just got to keep moving forward.
Yeah, that's
you've
right.
just got to keep at it. You know, and one of the things that last part of that whole Elvis thing that Pam gave me after the Wayne Dyer thing was a saying by Mark Twain. It said, I've been through some terrible things in my life, some of which actually happened.
Right.
Very true. We always think of the worst case scenario.
Just recently, I went, and this is so very true, I had occasion to start into a weight loss program. The doctor who was in charge of the weight loss program said to me that due to my age and my obvious excess weight, he wanted to make sure that I could handle it, my heart could handle it. So he sends me to a cardiologist. And I had a stress test, and I had the echocardiogram and the EKG, and I went home. And 2 weeks later, I had my follow-up visit with him, and I knew that I was going in for quadruple bypass. I mean, I just knew it. And he looks at me and he says, you know what? We knew that you had an irregular heartbeat, and that's why you're taking this particular drug and that I've prescribed for you. And he said, we do know that you need to lose some weight, and that's what you're here for, or that's what you're supposedly going to be doing. And we do know that you have a hard time, get out of breath, and so on and so forth. Well, as you lose the weight, that'll get better. And, oh, by the way, and I'm like, oh, God, here it comes. He says, you don't have any blockages at all. Everything is fine. He said, I can't even say that you have heart disease. And I said, thank you. But I mean, that's the example. I mean, I was going to be waking up with a breathing tube in my mouth, and I just had this terrible, terrible fear of that.
We always borrow trouble.
And we do. And I was looking for it.
And now you're on the Bob Hope weight loss plan, right? You know what Bob Hope said his exercise plan was? He said, my exercise plan is I fill up the bathtub, pull the plug, and swim against the current.
Very good. Yes. Yeah, I'll have to use that. I like that.
Tell your doctor that's what you've decided to do for your weight loss program. It's the Bob Hope plan.
Swimming regimen. But see, it comes down to, with this perseverance, is we have to have the plan and the definition of success in front of us. So as we persevere to get to that other place of where we define success. And what I try to tell people, and this is what Terry and I have discussed, and from our conversations we've come up with this idea of, you visualize where you want to be. What is the ideal lifestyle? See what kind of car you're driving, where do you live, what kind of clothes you wear, what kind of shoes you wear, what are you getting $50 haircuts, are you getting $7 haircuts, are you getting $150 or $2,000 haircuts? What is it that is in your life that makes you successful? And then instead of coming back to today and saying, I have to move up to that incrementally till I get to that, it's like having, if I want $1 million in 5 years, if I'm saying, oh, well, this year I'll just save $250,000 or $200,000, and I'll do that for 5 years, and then I'll have my $1 million. Well, instead of doing that, come up to where you're visualizing, and you start to live today like you visualize what success means to you. I've got all these problems handled. Then you go back, well, what did I do yesterday? And what did I do the day before that? Instead of rewinding and go back to stage one, which is what Harry's talking about, he said, don't do that. Start where you visualize your success and move backwards to today and see what steps did I have to take to get there.
Watch the movie in reverse.
And just see it backwards instead of coming back to today and watching it forward, because you don't know all those obstacles that are going to come up. But if you have this definition of success and you start living it today, when people say, oh, well, Tom, you're retired now. Yes, I'm retired. I have three businesses. I have Sin City Country Club, our golf course, which is returning it to its former wonderful self as number first golf country club that Dale Webb ever built. And I have the book, Success or Failure, that we're trying to help people, where we work with nonprofits and we do a cost sharing. The thing about the book I want to remark is that we're not doing it to make money. I personally make no money from it. We're raising money for autistic kids, but we also work with nonprofits, and if they sell the book, they get half it's $20, they get 10, and we keep 10 for helping autistic kids, so we share it, and we also share programs. So then the other thing that I'm doing is called Golf Mix, where we're trying to make a community of golfers so that it's a national community where golfers talk about golf instead of where Golf Now will talk about, or Golf Channel talks about what the elite people say, pros tell you how to play and what equipment to have. How about actual human beings that are doing it every day on the ground tell each other what to do and how they can enjoy the game and how they can expand it and get more friendships in the social aspects of golf. So those are some of the things that you look at. You want to have that whole thing. So I look at my whole life as if all of those are successfully going forward financially. I can see autistic kids, which we've already had classes with top 50 LPGA teaching pro, Penny Pulse, who's teaching these kids. There's 12 kids in her first class. And I've had members of the club say, oh, Tom, it's really wonderful that you're teaching junior golf here at the club. And I said, those kids are autistic kids, and what they're learning is social skills and motor skills. And they couldn't believe how well-behaved they were because they're out. In fact, they're better behaved than a lot of the junior golfers. So, I mean, it just, you know.
Probably better behaved than a lot of the adult golfers.
that's all part of it because they're just learning, and this is something that they can do where they couldn't do anything in the past. And so what my point is that I'm living today like all the three things that I'm working on are all being successful and that people are being helped. So I'm moving backwards each day to my present to see how to get to these things. And just finding Terry, who was a member of the club, and he didn't really I asked him to read the book from an academic point of view, and he says, well, I could use some of this stuff in my own life. You know, I've got a couple of stops here. Well, it wasn't that he couldn't have overcome his own stops. It's that he didn't have that other plan. Okay, I plan to retire. Now I'm retired, and I have choices. I can make a lot of choices, but I haven't got them defined.
Well, the book offers a framework.
Framework.
It offers a framework, and once you go through the book, it helps you establish your framework, and it's a phenomenal service for that reason. Terry, now we pretty much know what Tom's aspect is of the mm-hmm. two of you. What is? I know you said you sell real estate.
Yep.
Involved in the real estate industry, yep. And you have been an educator, so you're still the two of you together, but you're still also doing some educational things. Yep. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what some of those are?
Well, as we've done together. Tom and I have done workshops for the homeless veterans in Phoenix, for victims of domestic abuse in Peoria, Arizona. We've worked at the community college level in Surprise, Arizona, teaching workshops along these same lines about wherever you are in your transition, you know, how do we move forward along the way. Pam and I have never had a chance to work together. And so we got our real estate licenses together as part of our retirement plan and have been working in the real estate business. And that's been fun to work together. We've always liked looking at houses. She's a designer, florist by trade. And so it's just been a nice fit for us. And another song to sing, if you will, along the way, you know. And so so the work we've done with Tom continues to be great. And we continue to help people, we believe, as well as autistic kids. Look forward to doing much more teaching, much more speaking, much more selling of real estate. But it really comes about because of the plan. And, you know, I word it slightly different than Tom's book, but along the same ways. One of the things that I learned about how, after you have time just to tell you six things about how, and what lessons learned along the way from a very important teacher in my life, many years ago, and I told Tom this, and I said, that's almost the same as your six right. chapters in the book.
That's right.
I told you I used to skydive, got injured, couldn't do that anymore, and decided I wanted to get a pilot's license, and so I did. And had a wonderful instructor who was my flight instructor for my whole time. And he told me this. He said, well, here's the thing about learning to fly, and I think it's about doing anything in life. First of all, you got to have a plan as to where you're going, which in an airplane is called a flight plan. You file a flight plan which says, I'm here and I want to go here. You have to have a very clear picture of where you want to go, and then you have to develop a plan to get there. How are you going to get there? Where are you going to go by? How long is it going to take you? How much gas is it going to take? Right? Same things as how much money is it going to have, et cetera. So know where you want to go. Have a plan to get there. And she said, the third thing, you never get in the airplane to take a trip without checking the oil. He said,
Your whole checklist.
But he said, his thing was check the oil, which meant check the plane and check yourself. And he said, make sure you're healthy. Make sure you feel right when you get in the airplane and the airplane's right. So check the oil. And I bring that up in our conversations. We've got to know where we want to go. We got to have a plan, but we've got to make sure we're able to handle that, because change is stressful. And anyone tells you otherwise is lying to you. So physically, you've got to be ready to go. Fourth thing he said is, as you're making the trip, you better have progress checks. And he said, every 10 miles, I want you to check. There should be this city here. There should be this railroad track here. There should be this silo. He said, that tells you, whatever the instruments tell you, that tells you in your mind you're on track. It's a progress check every 10 miles. I say the same thing to people taking on a new challenge. Plan, check the oil, and then make sure you know you're making progress. And then fifth thing, he says, make sure you've got an emergency plan, like a reserve parachute. What if the engine quits? What if storms come up? Where are you going to go? What are you going to do? Hence my reserve chute analogy. And the final thing was, he says, no, you're never going to get there without the help of others, whether it be your flight instructor, the other airplanes, or the people in the tower. When it comes time to land, you're going to need the help of others. Mm-hmm. That's almost like Tom words it in his book. His book is six chapters, and really it talks about knowing where you want to go, the planning, getting yourself physically ready to do it, doing progress checks, having people help you along the way, and helping others along the way. And I think that's a critical thing for boomers. As we say that we need a reserve chute to take risks, we also need to be a reserve chute for others. And that's your helping others line that we opened up the program with, right?
Absolutely. It's an interesting, because your final point there was you need the help of others.
Yep.
And likening it to an airplane reminds me of some of those very facts. That I was on a plane going from Phoenix to San Diego many years ago. It was one of the primary carriers from here to there. We all know who it was, who it is. And I had flown back and forth several times. And I always knew that as we're approaching Phoenix, I was going to go out. I could see the outer marker. I knew what it was. As we came down, we started our descent. I could see number 10T for Balboa Golf Club. I could see the Veterans Hospital over here. And I knew exactly where we were. And I knew we were coming over the freeway. And there were offices that we were so close to the offices, you could see which secretary had the short skirts. And as we're coming down.
It was close.
And so as we're coming in this one time, we're flying into a beautiful orange sunset, but very hazy, and you couldn't see much. And we're coming down, and I look out one window, and I says, that's Balboa on the left side. That's supposed to be on the right side. And as we're coming down further and further, I look down, and I says, that's the Marine Corps training depot on the left side. It's supposed to be on the right side. And all of a sudden, just about that time, the pilot goosed that thing. He took it up over Point Loma, and I swore he flew it halfway to Hawaii before he cleaned out the cockpit and came back and made another pass.
Yeah.
But here was the help of others, because somebody told him, you're offline. The tower, his co-pilot, or it was going to be me when I ran and started beating on the door, but on the cabin door. But nonetheless, there was help of others, because he'd have put us right down on top of that Marine Corps training depot.
Well, the first time I ever flew with a real passenger, I almost landed on a yellow VW bug on a highway that I thought was the runway. until the tower called me. Probably the same. And said, Cessna 3800 Victor, pull up. You're landing on Highway 60.
Well, but that is really what this stuff is about. It's get outside of your comfort zone. Know who you are. Look inside. I tell people, take out a mirror. That's the person that is in charge of all the bad things that happen to you. But the good news is that's also the person that can change things for you as you change your attitude and accept that you can have it. You can achieve all you can conceive. That's what we try to preach in our book.
Well, we're down to the bitter end of our really fun discussion here, guys. I thank you for coming in. Tom, the name of the book is Success or Failure, The Choice is Yours. Why don't you give us the website?
Successorfailure.org.
Successorfailure.org. And Terry, how can they get hold of you for real estate or anything else?
In real estate, I work for Award Realty, awardrealty.com. And for the book, same website. Tom and I worked together on that, www.successorfailure.org, and ask for Terry.
And you can, if you buy the book, then you get a month of free mentoring, and we'll be very happy to answer any questions. All you have to do is type in tom@successorfailure.org and list your question, anything that you have. There's about a business question, because I'm also a SCORE mentor, certified mentor, so I do that. But from people that buy the book, I do that. It's just for the benefit of people answering their questions in a very private way.
Well, gentlemen, I'd like to thank both of you for joining me today. It's always been a pleasure talking with you, and I'm sure our listeners have gotten some good out of all of this conversation, and hopefully they enjoyed some of the frivolity that we went through today as well. Yeah, that was fun. You've been listening to the Boomer the Babe Show on Blog Talk Radio, where we bring good conversation to the world. Today we brought you information and conversation with Terry Munther and Tom Legering. You can listen to the Boomer the Babe Show every Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. right here on Blog Talk Radio. Remember that we do more than host this radio show on Blog Talk. Check out www.boomerandthebabe.com. See everything that makes up the Boomer and the Babe Incorporated, multifaceted, multimedia company. We hope you'll find something there that we might be able to help you with as well. And be sure to make the second half of your life the best half of your life. Goodbye, everybody. We'll talk to you next time.
Boomer the Babe Show, where we bring interesting conversation to the world. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, where we tweet as Boomer and Babe, and on Facebook as Pete Peters 47. As always, you can friend us on Blog Talk Radio or sign up for our newsletter at boomerandthebabe.com. Email us at host@boomerthebabe.com with any of your comments. Remember, at 50, you're just getting started.